For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Hey, it's State of State. We got your Nittany Line update. It's a football discussion with Tom and Justin, so kick back and press play.
With former Penn State and NFL defensive back Justin King, I'm Tom Hanifin. This is State of State. This podcast is presented by BetOnline. The tournament is here. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters this season with the best bracket contest out there, plus odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices and even track your bracket in real time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember, use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. State of State is presented by BetOnline. The game starts here. Are you looking for a higher potential return on your savings? Turn to our sponsor, Save. As an SEC-registered investment advisor, Save safely combines the best parts of saving and investing with its market savings program. Market savings is a savings product that provides you with market returns instead of interest. The returns come from diversified investment portfolios based on your individual investment profile. The return from the investments is paid to you at the end of the selected investment term. But investing comes with risk, right? Well, with Save, your deposit is FDIC insured and never used for any investments. The current variable APYs are 9.07% for the one-year product and 7.9% for the five-year product. So what does this cost you? Well, Save only charges a fee when your investments make you money. To learn more or to sign up, visit joinsave.com/state. That's joinsave.com/state. The link to the website is in the description of this podcast. State of State invites you to join Save. Joining us this week on State of State, we have Grizz. Jimmy Kennedy, a Penn State legend, is with us. Jimmy, how are you doing, man? What is going on in your life right now? I'm dying to know.
Man, you know what's going on, fellas? I mean, it's good to see you guys. I'm a fan of watching you guys. So, man, I'm enjoying life, you know, counting my blessings every day out here in Arizona. You know, my son's wrapping up his senior year. I got an older son right now who just graduated from Penn State last year. So I'm just enjoying it. It's we have senior trip, prom, graduation. Then I got to get him off to college. And then I'm be empty nesting, start this new chapter.
You're going to be heartbroken when that happens, right?
Hey, I talked to him today. He was like, Dad, you going to cry? I was like, yeah, I'm going to cry every day, bro. This is all I know. You know, since I retired, you know, the one thing I've been consistently is his father, you know? So it's like, you know, what am I going to do every day? I don't have a reason to wake up in the morning and so on and just, you know, because like he just got his license like literally like 10 days ago. So every morning I'm taking him to school, picking him up and so on, so on. So it's like, man, I got to just get up and hit the gym now and do something to keep myself in shape.
You've been retired now from the game for about a decade. For those that don't know, what are you doing right now? How's your overall health? How's your life? What's happening?
I think when it comes to this football stuff, when we all go through injuries and you know, just traumas and different things, as the competitive side of us, we tend to back down a little bit. So when I finished playing, a lot of people don't know I didn't play in the Super Bowl and I didn't know that my heart was in AFib. So once I was done and, you know, I was just like, am I going to continue to try to fix this and so on? But I'm better now. But, you know, I have my good days, I have my bad days and so on. But I had about 9 procedures where it's cardio versions. I've done ablations and different stuff and so on. I take heart medicine and stuff like that. But overall, you know, like I said, as a fan of the game, you know, I remember when the game was over, I used to sit and watch the game, and I would have a resting heart rate of like 140, 150 because my body was still playing the game. And I'm just like, well, what's going on? I'm gaining weight. I'm doing this. I'm doing all the right stuff and so on. And it's like, oh, yeah, you're at AFib or this happened and so on. So as I retired, I mean, as I continued in retirement, I learned how to monitor all this stuff and get myself straight and so on. So as I said, I don't have a haircut right now, but other than that, you know, I'm just trying to be the other hot chocolate on this thing, the other hot Jake on this thing outside of Justin, you know. But, yeah, you know, sure. I keep down so I could be out there doing some sprints with him.
I was going to say, he's very good at teaching the 40. The 40 tech is very, very, very strong.
Yeah, I mean, such a little bit in the sports world.
You'd be surprised how many of your videos I sent to my son for his 40 form and bounce steps and different stuff and so on. I'd be like, yo, listen what Justin said. He said 15, bro. What are you doing, bro?
For sure. No, I mean, you're speaking to a major point, man, especially even going into it. Like, you had a unique experience coming to Penn State, obviously a big-time recruit. Now you've seen it from the apparent side, completely different landscape in the recruiting scene, sports landscape, NIL, transfer portal. How has it been going through the recruiting process as a parent?
We already talked about the heart condition. So, you know, being a parent sitting in the stands and so on and knowing the game, I couldn't sit there as a fan and so on. So before you know it, next thing you know, I'm volunteering, you know, to coach with the coaches out there and let them know just a little bit of knowledge and everything else and so on. But it's different because from my position, when I went on these visits, they was like, man, it's totally different now. Like, these guys are getting paid, this and so on. How you feel about this? You wish you could have did it and everything else. And I'm just like, man, you know what? I'm blessed to have a son that's actually benefited from the hard work that I put in the past and so on. You get what I'm saying? So I think I'll probably feel a certain way if my son wasn't playing football. He wasn't going to be a part of this whole situation because, you know, but even then now I see like in some of this NIL stuff, they have former players that's coming back and getting a part of this stuff and so on as well, you know, but it's just different because like I tell my son, when you get out there, you know, he committed to Iowa, which I love and I hate, you know, obviously he does.
That'll tick off some Penn State fans. Yeah, that's all right, though. It's great for him.
Right, but here's what the thing is. I think all Penn Staters respect Iowa and Coach Ferentz and that staff. Agreed. You have no other choice but to respect Phil Parker and that defense. So I love the fact that my son is going to be. It's kind of like Coach Johnson. You hate that he left Penn State and so on, but you love what he does and so on to a point. You'll root for him, you know, under your breath in reality, but you still want to beat Ohio State. Right. So I'm when Iowa plays Penn State, you know, because I remember when I was playing ball in the NFL, my dad was a huge Green Bay fan. He literally looked me in my face. He said, if you play Green Bay in the Super Bowl, I want you to do good. So what do you mean you want me to do good? I want you to do good, but I want Green Bay to win. Bro, what are you talking about? And so it's going to be tough, but I got to ride with my family on this one. I mean, Penn State is going to always be family, but the recruiting process was difficult. Because, as I said, the transfer portal, like my son is going into this situation. I think we're dealing with a different kind of kid in terms of toughness, in terms of battling. You have to look at it a different way because we all not going to make it pro. So every kid that gets into the transfer portal is trying to make an attempt to go pro. You understand? And I'm just like, man, you guys got to understand there's more doctors and lawyers and brain surgeons and so on, which is something that Coach Paterno told me when I was a player. He said, listen, when you come here, I went in like a knucklehead saying, I'm going to play a couple of years and I'm going to leave. And he's like, no. Like, NFL, even if you go in as a 22-year-old kid, have a 10-year career, let's say a 15-year, 13-year, so on, and I go from 22 to 35, what are you going to do from 35 to 65? That's where your education comes in. That's where I've been proud to be a Penn Stater. That's where it's like, oh, man, what's this knowledge and so on. That's where it's time to pick up the phone and call and say, hey, JK, hey, Tom, you know, I need this and so on and so on. Like, can we rely on each other and so on? That's where the brotherhood comes in and so on. So I hate that the transfer portal exists in my understanding of it. I am, but I just think that, like, kind of like this whole situation with Iowa. The guy transferred from Alabama. He gets NIL money. He goes in there. Now he transfers right back to Alabama after offseason in Iowa.
Hayden Proctor, yeah.
Really just about the dollars. I think that's going to hurt the game.
I love betting with my friends, and Cut is perfect for just that. The Cut app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40-plus states. Cut has customizable odds tracking capabilities and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. And especially with March Madness upon us, I can hit up my friends all over the country for every imaginable bet the Big Dance can possibly offer us. It's the best. Use our promo code Believe Penn State. That's B-L-E-A-V, Penn State, for a 10% welcome deposit bonus. Again, don't forget the promo code Believe Penn State. That's B-L-E-A-V, Penn State. Cut. Put your money where.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Where your mouth is.
I think you're absolutely right, and especially because it's a nuanced conversation, right? Because like the way everything started out was on the heels of this athlete empowerment, right? Hey, we want to do this to help the athletes. When Chavez Napier came out as the UConn guard and said everybody wasn't eating. I remember like that was like a craze where everyone started paying attention. You know, when we went to school, I probably got $28 from Spider every month for some laundry, some different things. So like we understood what the struggle was of college, but then everybody came out and didn't understand some of the benefits that you do get and things that we learn in the development process. And it was like a lot of people that had never even been in college sports that have influenced what needs to happen to the athlete, not necessarily understanding the byproduct or some of the, I guess, related consequences that we're going to see from whether it's paying guys earlier or putting that in the front, whether it's a high school kid who's now focused on their brand and not necessarily developing their actual talent. And then they're wondering why I got 10,000 followers calling me overrated and I'm actually not getting these scholarship offers. Like it's like a lot of different ripple effects and dynamics that are created out of this thing of athlete empowerment when it's like really the athletes are taking the brunt of the new age or the changes that are happening. So it's interesting that you say that with those different things with NIL.
Yeah. And you know, like to piggyback off of what you said, it's kind of like, yeah, when I go back to visit Penn State, I think about those things that I had to go through. So for example, coming from the inner cities of New York, you know, it's just different things that they didn't know. Like, so for example, I being one of the leaders, as far as, you know, the squads that I've had being a 4-year starter there, people didn't know that you get an extra $1,200 in terms of being an athlete if you could show that you could write with your left hand. If you kept your GPA over a 2.75, it was an extra $1,500 and so on. So those are the things that I was showing the guys and so on when I was there to get more money in our pocket. If you went and you purchased clothes and so on and you turned around and brought your receipts back, you get an extra $500 refunded from what you used and so on. And we're in college. It's not like the way it is right now, but you still had your meals paid, you still have room and stuff paid for. If you can check your account and look, you got $3,000-$4,000 in your account, it's like, whoa, hold up. You know, I'm living pretty good and everything else and so on. So that was always my situation because I wish $20 lasts as long as it lasted in college the way on today, you know. So
yeah,
I can check my account and have $20 and so on. And it's like, oh, man, do I want to get gas or do I want to just jump on this free bus? And they say, you know, I'm up early, I'm on a free bus and so on, whatever. Now, like, think about this. Like, I talked to my son, and I was just like, bro, what do you mean that you guys practice in the morning and y'all do all this other stuff? I was just like, we practice in the afternoons. We did this and so on. And it's like, class-wise, since COVID and so on, during the season, let's say if you had a full load, 3 of your classes is online. I'm just not used to that. You know what I'm saying? Certain someone that I have to get and so on. But I think overall, I know they're talking about like the players having a players union and all that other stuff and so on. It's good to see those guys eat. I remember when I was a player and I had a great game, and when the game was over, I was checking my mail and so on. I opened it up. I was like, man, there's $200 in here. And I was like, hey, great game, Jimmy, and so on. Go get yourself a pizza and everything else. And I was like, ah, I'm happy. Like, oh, I got $200 and so on. And then my players, the guys went, they told Coach Johnson. He said, hey, hold up, Hoss. You know, if you spend that money, you're going in the NCAA, find out you're going to be done. And I was like, what are you going to be done? And how much they give you? And I was like, man, they gave me 200. I heard they gave you five. Nah, they gave me 200, Coach. And he's just like, man, let me get that from you. And then I was just like, all right. So I gave it to him, and we talked and so on. And then I said, well, what you going to do with the, you know, with the money and so on? He's just like, you know, at the end of the year, we'll have a D-line party or something like that. Or he'll say, hey, you guys thank Jimmy. And I end up getting some extra hoops. Or I end up getting this and so on, whatever. But from my freshman year until I graduated, I've never received a fan mail that wasn't opened already. You know, Coach Jay, he'd be like, yeah, man, you know you up to like 16,000 and so on. It's week five. Like, for real? So, you know, so.
So it's a myth that Penn State supporters don't support. Which you got the players that they want to support, but, you know.
Struggling and so on, though. You know, I got mom and still all my brothers and stuff still living in the middle of the project in New York. And I'm hearing like, what? I had 16,000 and I didn't see a dime. So I'm on the fence when it comes to this whole NIL thing. And
were you making plays? Were you making plays when the money was coming in? Were you like, you're a contributor? You're the ball. You're the dude. It was Grizz at this point. Were you Grizz?
Hey, you know, so back then, you know, freshmen couldn't talk to the media and stuff under Coach Paterno. So, you know, right. When I went, red shirt and so on, because I came in as a partial qualifier. So I got an 810 on the SAT. I needed an 820 to play. So, but my GPA and stuff was good. So it was like I went in, I was forced to red shirt. Like Coach Paterno and them didn't even know what to do. So when I red shirted and I went to the games, I had to sit in the stand. I had to purchase a ticket and so on and sit in the stands. And I remember the stands my red shirt freshman year saying, hey, listen, I'm really the guy. Y'all not going to hear me. When I'm out there next year, I'm going to show you guys. And they're just like, yeah, all right, fat boy. Because I'm like three. They're like, yeah, all right, fat boy. Like, you, like, where you at? And I'm looking at the guy. I'm right there. My fat face is right there and so on. And I'm trying to convince people that I'm really a player. So why are you not on the sideline? It's kind of like, yeah, I'm kind of slow. But I had to do so on. But I'm telling you, don't let the slowness, you know, I'm going to be a baller. But. So when I went out there and I watched those guys practice in New York, I never faced a guy my size, 6'5", 330 pounds and so on. So when I show up and you got that whole offensive line that was blocking for Kurt Enos, Floyd Wedderburn, Kareem McKenzie, Jordan Caruso and those guys and so on. And I'm like, whoa, these are big boys and so on. And watching those guys get drafted and have long careers and so on. So when I went out there and I held my own versus those guys, and then they'll go play, and I remember redshirt, and he was just like, listen, you better than every defensive tackle we face so far, you know, since we've been in college and so on. I was just like, all right. Like, so it gave me the confidence that I needed. But then the next year, Coach Paterno still had that whole believe in seniors, pay your dues and everything else. And then I had the guy in front of me, and he broke his foot. And literally it was like – he played, I want to say, like, it was game four going into game five or something like that, game five going into six. He broke his foot, and I got thrust out there before halftime. In five games, he had 9 tackles. I finished that game with 11 tackles. Literally. Like, and LeVar Arrington, he told the media, like, my first, very first article said, from a cub to a bear. And LeVar was like, man, the guy's big, fast, strong. And, you know, he just runs around. He's just mean as hell. He looks like a grizzly bear out there. And here's what the situation was. So, you know, when the bear part came, my grandmother, when I was a kid, she always called me Pooh Bear, you know, and she passed away when I was a freshman, you know, so I didn't want nobody calling me Pooh Bear. And all. I'm football, you know, Pooh Bear. Don't try to poo stuff and so on. So y'all could just call me Bear. I'm good and so on and so on. But then LeVar threw the grizzly thing out there and so on. And from there on, went from it's crazy because it literally my whole name was the Grizzly Bear. So when people see me, they're like, oh, what's up, the Grizzly Bear? Like, how's it going, the Grizzly Bear? So I'm like, all right, man.
So I got to add my story onto that with the whole Grizz. So like, so I don't even know if Grizz probably remembers this, but this is like, I think after that season or previously. I don't know. Did you? It had to be after because when I first met you, I remember meeting you and you were standing in front of a truck with a picture of a grizzly bear on it, right? So yep. If you guys check me, I don't know if it was a Tahoe or whatever, but it was like a nice Tahoe or Denali, 24-inch rims, you know what I'm saying? He had like a mural, like a graffiti mural of a grizzly bear. What was it?
That car is still in the garage. A very first car.
I was probably like in eighth or ninth grade, and I was coming up to camp, and Scrap and Coach J were taking me around, like, oh, these are the guys. They had just worked out, and Grizz was standing by his car talking to a few of us. And I was like I was trying to wrap my head. I was like, man, this dude's in college, and he got a truck with a grizzly bear, and his name is the Grizzly, and call him Grizz? I was like, that's gangster. That's hard. Like, I was like, who is this guy?
That's branding right there.
Yeah. That's branding right here. That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, look at this branding, because it was authentic, right? He was huge. He was big. I mean, I'm in eighth or ninth grade.
He goes off and goes,
get drafted in the first round. I'm like, I remember him. He had a grizzly bear on his truck, man. They were like, no, he did. I'm like, oh, hey, you know,
it was that I was a knucklehead in New York. And I think what I love about this game is just if you do right, you know, like my son wanted to be a basketball player this whole time. You know, so he was like, he's seen dad go through the heart surgeries. He's seen dad go through, look, my fingers, all these fingers, the same length, you know, because I broke it right here. So I got pen and everything else and so on and plates. So look, all these fingers is the same length versus this one, you know. So he's that stuff. Look, he see dad has a, let me see, how do I do this? He has a plate and five screws right here. So he's seen all those surgeries and everything else. And this on the other hand, you know, so he's seen all those things. He's like, man, nah, dad, football tears you up and so on. Knee getting scoped and different stuff and so on. So because he's seen all that, he was like, man, I just want to play basketball. I don't want to go down that route. But what was end up happening was, especially once you get like a guy like Steph Curry shooting from half court and different stuff and so on, my son, as he was playing, you know, he's realizing he's not scoring no points unless he gets a rebound. Now, meanwhile, basketball is all year round. They're going to AAU, they're going to this, they're going that. My son is in the weight room. He's doing certain things. And he's like, man, why am I putting all this work in there? Nobody's throwing me the ball inside. When they throw me inside, I might go up strong, but that's 2, maybe 4 points. Anything else, I finished the game with 14, but, you know, I only got two assists for throwing it inside. The rest is off of rebounds, offense, defensive rebounds, and so on. So then he said, Dad, I really want to get a scholarship. What should I do? I looked at him. I said, bro, you got to put your hands in the dirt. You want to get a scholarship. You got to love the game and put your hands in the dirt. And what he was looking at, he was like, man, when I hang out with football players, the football players, the camaraderie is just unreal. He said, as basketball players, we go different ways and so on. But then now I'm at lunch, I'm hanging with the football players, I'm hanging with the linebackers, the DBs and different stuff and so on. And they're like, yo, we need you to play, we need you to play, we need you to play. And then now what ended up happening was we having a starting quarterback become the point guard on the football, you know, on the basketball team. So he's like, yo, bro, like, I need you out here at defensive end and everything else. And then he was like, yo, Dad, what do you think? Bro, you're 190 pounds, what you want to do? And then he was just like, all right, let's just transfer to Brophy and, you know, and let's play this ball. So I transferred him in. He show up, never wore cleats, never worked out and so on in terms of football workout, never ran over the bags, none of the other stuff and so on. He goes out and he's getting his feet wet and everything else and so on. Game three, he's the starting defensive end. Guy hurt and everything else. The same situation as me. Guy's hurt. He's just thrown in the fire against a coach that's like, it's kind of like Bear Bryant of high school ball out here. The guy, if he's been coaching for years, he has 11 state championships. Like, you know, it's Centennial High out here in Arizona and so on in Glendale. And I'm just like, and it's the school he transferred from. So he's out there and so on. And before you know it, he's just training and everything else and so on. And he goes out there, he makes a couple of plays, but it's kind of like, you know, I'm in the stands now. I'm like, yo, do this, try this move, do a spin. But it's weird. I'm like, your steps is like a euro. 1, 2, 3, spin. Listen what I'm saying. Cross, go here, cross. over there. And it's like so weird because I'm trying to get him to translate the game and everything else and so on. And before you know it, next thing you know, it's just started slowly flowing and everything else and so on. And what I love about Brophy and the coaches that they have, Coach Wooten, the basketball coach, literally said to him, because you transfer, you'll have to sit out half the season. And he said, this is a college prep. He said, so here's what a situation is. He said, you can come in. I would love for you to play JV. I know you play varsity at the other school. I would love for you to play JV and be at the end of the bench on varsity. Because the problem that I'm having right now is this is a college prep. And I have all my guys being looked at. So I'm trying to figure out whose playing time will get cut for you. My son looked and said, whoa. Wait, what do you mean? Like, you have guys going to college for basketball? And he was just like, yeah, everyone's getting looked at and so on, whether it's D2, D3, whether it's, you know, D1 and so on, whether it's a Power 5 or whether it's this. He's going through it. And he's just like, I'm not trying to mess up nobody's, you know, situation when it comes to basketball. So he says, I appreciate the coach, but and the coach was talking to him. He's like, yeah, football's definitely going to be the best way for you. And my son was like, Dad, you heard that? And I was just like, yeah. And he's just like, I think I'm done with football. I mean, you're done with basketball. What do you mean you're done? I don't want to play no more. And I was just like, you sure? He's just like, nah. He's like, I'm not trying to take away from it. I know I never met these guys and so on yet, but this is what I came here for. I want a scholarship. Why would I want to interrupt someone else's scholarship and so on? Like, I want an education. I know you did right by your money, Dad. I know you're going to take care of me and stuff, but I really want this, you know, scholarship. And then the next day, he was like, let's start training. My son went from 195 pounds to 240 pounds in the offseason. And literally, I talked to Zamitis out there. I talked to those guys. I hit him up. I said, yo, Z, my son said, no offseason basketball, nothing. He's just strictly football. And Z was like, yo, listen, I just talked to Coach Franklin and everything else. He said, if he puts on his weight and he shows up and he gets to the camp, this is home for him. And the whole offseason, he was training to get to Penn State. Literally the whole offseason, he was training to get to Penn State. And I was like, yo, what's going on? And literally my son showed up. He was 242 pounds. And I was like, from 190. And watch this. He started training in December. And by February, he was 242.
How old is he right now at this time? Like when he says, like, I'm done with basketball, how old is he at this moment?
He's 16. 15. Oh, wow.
15 turns 16, making the decision to play football.
Right now, he's 17 years old. He won't be 18. He literally turns 18 on May 14th. He graduates May 18th. He's in Iowa because he committed there in June 8th. Like, literally. So he's only been playing for 2 years. Now, I wish he was coming back for this year because, as I said, right now, my son is 271. Because he did this whole offseason the same thing. Now, watch this go so we can be clear. He's 271 pounds. We did his body fat and stuff this past Friday. He is literally 14.1% body fat. And so it's not like he's sitting over here eating some crap and everything else
right,
and so
on.
He's doing his protein and everything else and so on. But it's so weird to see the game because literally once he did that, he was training and I had a fear because I'm like, all right, I know when you get up to Penn State, it's just drills. You know, it's just going to be running through the bags, running over the bags, one-on-ones with no pads and so on. But here's what I need you to do. I need you to know how to carry this weight. You got to feel what this bull rush is going to feel like now that you're 240 pounds. You got to feel how this thing is going to go and so on. So as we literally may hit, he finished school, and the last week of May, we started the tour. We jumped in the car, and we just started driving. We went from Arizona to Colorado, Colorado State, to there, to Kansas State, where he had, like, a big man camp. I left Kansas State. Then we hit St. Louis, the Lindenwood, the mega camp. Now, keep in mind, when he went to Kansas State, it was cool. There was a little hiccup and stuff there because he really didn't bond with the coaches and stuff. There was kind of like bashing former players. And he was just saying, I don't really want to pour into this place. And then when I leave, they talk about me and so on. So he really wanted to get out of there, but I signed him up for the camp. And it's the first time he was running around with the pads and different stuff and so on. So he literally, they was like, oh, we don't know if he's tough enough. He's not like his father. And I was just like, whoa, hold up. He's not going to be me. You know, I went outside as a kid. Like, it's the difference. These kids is video games. I went outside since I was, you know, we in the park playing tag and everything else and so on. So I'm trying to break that whole thing down to him. Next thing you know, he hits the, I told him, I said, yo, they said you were soft. He said, who said it when I was soft? I said, that's what they told your coach. The next day, we went to Lindenwood in St. Louis, the mega camp. Missouri called up for him for his transcripts. Illinois offered him. Iowa, like, he just went off because he just – and then at this camp, here's what it is. You have guys in the portal. You have JUCO guys, high school guys. You have, you know, juniors and seniors and so on. Here's a junior going against a JUCO guy, and he's just destroying guys. I'm like, well, hold on, okay? Like, we got some things to fix, but that's all right. And then before you know it, he just continued to just get offers and different stuff. He went up to Iowa. He was like, Dad, I really love this place. I really just felt like home. And we finished practice because his Devin's mom lives in Pennsylvania still. We finished the camp that night. It was a night camp, and I didn't know. I thought it was something early. And the next day, he had Penn State, the school he trained for the whole time, literally. And it was just, you know, bra and panties for the most part. Everywhere else was full pads, like helmet, shoulder pads. So we jumped in the car, and I literally drove the whole night. And we got there that morning, like literally the whole night. We got there that morning. I checked into the hotel. I was like, hey, we're here early. Ken, he has camp, this and so on and so on. He's like, well, we got a, you know, disabled room and so on and so on. So I was just like, so I had the wheelchair shower. So I was just, we just need a bed and everything else and so on. He got an hour and a half sleep in the bed. His mom drove up. He slept in the car the whole night and so on. And, you know, you could see that he was raw. Coach Barnes had him, you know, doing certain things and so on. He was the example guy. Hey, come over here, do this and so on, so on, so on. So you could see that. And while he was there, he was like, Dad, as I'm there, you know, it's Penn State. So they got in the one-on-ones, everybody was lined up at defensive end, and that's what he played. So literally, it was like the line is defensive end, go, 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 go. And it's like, all right, guards up. And they looking around and so on. He was like, all right, I'm going to just go inside. And when he went inside, it was like, he's a natural, but here it is. He's 240 pounds. He's only played outside. And literally, he just starts getting repped inside. And then you hit, oh, my God, good, get off. What great move and so on, spin move. And I'm like, what the hell? Coach Franklin standing there looking at him and so on. I'm just like, okay. Like, I see you inside, little quick feet. Okay, like, what's going on? Then we left there, went for them and different places and so on. I got some rest and everything else. Then he wanted to go to Illinois. And I was like, what do you mean you want to go to Illinois? Me being a Penn State, I was like, nah, I'm cool with that. The bar jumped over the line when we was out there. LJ ran for 300 yards on him. Like, Illinois highlight team, what are you doing? Like, we're not going there. And he started crying, and I wanted to fight him. I wanted to be like, listen, do you understand what's going on? Am I arguing with my son about going to Illinois over Penn State and so on? He was just like, you know, and Illinois called because we had an official visit set up. And they called and said, hey, we have no scholarships left. And he just kept crying. I was like, yo, bro, it's going to be all right. It's Illinois. Calm down. But I realized he never saw the place. So I looked online and I saw they had a big man camp. First, I called him. I was like, yeah, I'm going to just bring him up here just so he could tour the place and everything else and so on. So he could see, don't be crying and so on. And then they was like, hey, no, we don't want you to come on campus. We don't want word to get out. We told our guys we weren't going to recruit anybody else and so on. And we don't want it to get leaked and so on. So I said, cool. And I sent them a copy of me just signing him up for camp, big man camp. And he went out there, he destroyed everyone out there. And the coach, Coach Jameson's a great guy, good coaches, all those guys, they was just real good guys. And Coach Bellman, when I said and I talked with him and so on, he's just like, the guy's just a raw athlete. They lined him up at linebacker, let him rush. They lined him up at DN, they lined him up at nose guard and so on. They lined him up everywhere just to try to see, and he dominated in every position. I mean, he struggled a little bit on like the, you know, the board drill. But here it is, he's 240 and so on. The guy that he went up against, you know, 290 and everything else, different levels, so on. So he's just now getting it and so on. I mean, he got dumped. But when he went one time, I said, don't you do it again. Don't do it no more, you know. So it was a stalemate. And then it was like one of those, you know, they do the twist thing and dump him. And it's like, no, stay straight. I'm like, don't do it no more. So long story short, he went out there. Other than that, he had the best numbers as a D lineman and so on. He was still hurt. I called Coach Franklin and I called Z up. I said, listen, you know how he feels and so on. Obviously, they were saying they wanted to watch him his senior year, see how he developed and so on. It was like, this is home for him. Obviously, we love him. We know who he is. And so we know we ain't going to have a problem with him. He's been on a society. He's 3.9 GPA and so on. So he has everything else. You know, and he's going to develop to be the next Jimmy Kennedy, if not the next Devin Kennedy, of course. But when I tell you that it was a heart-to-heart that I had with Zamaitis, heart-to-heart that I had with Coach Franklin, and they picked up the phone, they called him up, and they said, hey, listen, you're a Penn Stater. We're offering you, and so on. And he just was like, what am I doing? Why am I tripping over Illinois and everything else and so on? And then it was like, hold on. And to watch his confidence continue to go up, even though I know he wanted to do, because he knows that I know more than Coach Barnes. No shade to Coach Barnes. He's going to be an amazing coach, you know. But just the experience that I have, I think a lot of people forget that when I got to Penn State, Coach Johnson only had defensive ends, the Sciolis and the Courtney Browns and so on. He didn't have defensive tackles. We had Joe Sarah. You understand? So defensive tackles was Joe Sarah and everything else. But when I got there, I was like, bro. Hey, buddy. Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Well, Scrap became your defensive coordinator your second year in 2000, right?
Yeah. So I was a redshirt freshman. Well, I was a redshirt freshman with Sandusky, and right. Then this year Scrap took it. Sandusky retired, and so on. But yeah, so from my position, it was like, what am I going to do? Because obviously, when I was in school, I was with the basketball player. We was engaged and everything else and so on. And I'll be in a room on just a chill night, old school VCR, a DVD and so on. And Buddy will be at my dorm door. Like, hey, listen, you took the wrong step on this play. And so I'm like, hey, listen, I'm enjoying my lady. I'm on a date. I need you to like get him out of here. So going up. And one thing I loved about the program was because, as I said, I went in as a knucklehead to play the game, you know, in New York, you know, like you're saying, you're talking about the truck. I was in a city. I'm the oldest of three boys, my mom, single mom and everything else. So on dad, you know, he's around and everything else. So on, but it's still not in the household. Mom is struggling. I can see her struggling and everything else and so on. And next, you know, I'm doing the wrong thing. It's the environment that we're in. You know, you're selling, you're doing this and so on and so on. You're trying to, you know, like I remember picking up cans and bottles and different stuff and so on. So just to make money, you know, to help out. You know, it's New York, it's fashion. So we all want the latest Jordans that just dropped, or the Champion sweater, guest jeans and different things and so on. So I remember doing the wrong thing and Coach DiMatteo literally caught me on the staircase and said, hey, listen, I need you to stop doing this stuff and missing school and everything else and so on and join my football team. I ain't joining no football team. I got cut 7th and 8th grade from football team. They said I was too small, too slow. Listen, I'll tell you. I know next time I see you, I know you're going to have some stuff that you shouldn't have on you, guns and everything else and so on, whatever. So fast forward, he said, every time I see you, I'm going to call the cops. I joined the football team, hated it, went out there. Then he put me in a rotation to get my mind right and so on. And he drilled me, calling me Mr. Softy. I wouldn't hit nobody because I was a big guy. I didn't want to hurt nobody and their stuff. And then drilling and so on and so on. Before you know it, I was a starter out there. And one offseason, after my first season of playing, you know, I'm New York. I want to play basketball too. So Shaq was there. Everybody calling me Shaq and so on. I got the low fade with the nasty Nas part in there and so on. New York playing ball, you know, and he's like, dunk, do a 360, do this, do that, and so on, so on. And I was just like, all right, cool. So I'm doing all this other stuff and so on, playing ball. And then next thing you know, he's like, you know, standing there, guy standing there in the uniform, in the little polo and everything else. And I go over and he's like, hey, I want to introduce you. Introduce me. He's like, hey, I want you to, if you take this football stuff serious, I want to let you know you got a full scholarship to the University of Pittsburgh. And I was, the next day, I was in the weight room and I was training. We ended up winning the state championship that year. I ended up going, we had a scrimmage, and before you know it, I'm number one player in the state of New York, won the high school Heisman, spent the day with Charles Woodson that year. He won, and the rest was history. But Justin, I was saving up money. I got a summer job working in Parks and Recs. I used to wake up, walk down to Parks and Recs, pick up, because I had to clean up. I was doing a little stick and so on, picking up the bottles and stuff in the public park. Back then, you know, it was like kind of like Freaknik and everybody's summer. I had a shopping cart. I would pick up all the bottles and put everything in the shopping cart and walk down, which is not too far, but let's just say I ain't gonna make it like I'm an old school dude. I walk 3 miles, no shoes. Now I walk like, you know, half a mile or so on to the recycling place, and I'll get like $35 and so on. And then I go and I'll clock in, I'll be on the clock. My job is to clean up the park. And I'll clean up everything else, bottles and everything else, so on. And I'll just keep shopping carts. And every time I got a break, I just walk over and so on and so on. So next thing you know, by lunchtime, I'm bringing over more carts and everything else of bottles that I've been collecting. So I was getting like 100, 200 bucks a day plus getting paid. So then I'll leave and I'll go to practice. And I did that for the whole summer and so on. And I ended up seeing this 96 Chevy Tahoe. They wanted 13,000 for it at 22,000 miles. And I was like, all right, cool. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my money up. I had the shoe box full of money. I'm doing this stuff, so on. Then I got a job as the free weight room attendant in Bally's Total Fitness. I was in there. And as I was in there, you know, I'll go there after practice and so on. And while I was in there, I'm cleaning up stuff. And I realized, man, I should be working out. So before you know it, the guys that was in there working out be like, hey, put your weight up. Big man gonna get mad over there. You don't want him on you and so on and so on. So next thing you know, I have bad OCD. Next thing you know, the guys are just monitoring themselves, putting their weight up and so on. Now I'm jumping in with them, getting reps and everything else and so on. Man, you thought 13,000, like I'm thinking I'm about to show up with a suitcase. I want this truck and so on. I had $13,000 that was about this much. It was like $13,000 is this much with a rubber band around it and a little brown bag. And I walked into the dealership and I was like, hey, that champagne colored Tahoe out there. And I tossed the ball. And I tossed the table. I was like, let me get the keys. And the black dude was like, hey, whoa, young fella, what are you doing here? I was just like, I want the car. Like, I'm here to get the car. He was just, it doesn't work like that. That's how it is in the movies. Let me get the car, bro. No, it don't work like that. You can't do that. First off, keep your tone down and stuff, big fella. Yeah, I already know where this money comes. What you mean you know where this money came from? I got a job. I'm doing this. I'm picking up bottles. I want this car. Let me get the keys.
State of State is a proud supporter of Blue White Outfitters. Blue White Outfitters was created as a retail shop meant to highlight the confidence, competitiveness, and fearlessness of the elite athletes found throughout the history of Penn State University. Check out their Lockdown U and Lawn Boys merchandise today. All sales from Blue White Outfitters directly benefit Penn State student athletes. Visit www.bluewhiteoutfitters.com today.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Justin had run, so we are going to fill in for him for a little bit. We still got Jimmy Kennedy here on State of State. Jimmy, we're looking back, obviously, at your time in terms of like when you were younger and you're getting to Penn State. You get there in 1999, and that first season, 10-3, finish up at the Alamo Dome with a nice victory, and then that's where things start to get kind of rocky, and those were the beginning of the days of people calling for Joe's head. Those middle two seasons you had, sophomore and junior, a little thin, pop back up as you were a senior, but you talked about it earlier on with Justin and I in terms of you got in early and you flashed, and that first season the entire team had a great year. So to have that early success and then that valley in your sophomore and junior year, how did you guys all stick together? How did you feel, especially in your individual progression?
You know what it was with us, we actually knew we had talent. So, but what ended up happening was we were still a young bunch. So you have to keep in mind when I was there and I was a starter as a freshman, to my right, you know, I got Courtney Brown. To my left, you know, I had Justin Kapikas and so on. I had Dave Fleischauer, who was a senior and so on. Behind me, I had the stud linebacker Brandon Short and so on. I had Mac Morrison and so on. So we had vets. We had David Macklin and James Boyd and so on. So we Baljou and so on. So it was just a bunch of vets, you know, Anthony King and everything else. So there was just so many guys to replace. So what ends up happening in the next year, you only have myself and Justin Kabikas coming back as returning starters and guys who had game time experience. So here it is. I'm going into my sophomore year, and I'm looked at as a leader when I'm still a baby in this game, especially at the college level. So, you know, obviously, you know, you have the sophomore slumps and the different stuff. I think I had a fairly solid schedule. I mean, a fairly solid year, but it's no shade to my guys that I had behind me. But you get a guy like Gino Capone, my middle linebacker, who's a solid linebacker, but he didn't have the veteran savviness of, Brandon Short. You know, and then you get a guy like Derek Ware, who later on had a great career, you know, with Miami and so on, and him on the opposite of Jason Taylor and so on, sacks and everything else and so on. But at the time he was a linebacker, he was still learning the game and everything else and so on. So to replace all those guys and actually, you know, go out there and have, hey, this guy might be this and this guy might be that and so on, to have to go from a Curtis Enos and so on before us to Eric McCool, and then now you get, you know, Omar Easy, then you got Kenny Watson, then you have Larry Johnson and so on. So it was really like trying to find our way still. You go from, you know, a Kevin Thompson to a Zach Mills and so on. So the whole offensive line left. You know, I think we only had Kareem McKenzie. Now we got now we have Gus Felder. Now we have, you know, Joe Iorio and so on in center and so on, Frank Spano and so on. So it just continued to change. And I guess once we was able to find, you know, our groove, it was kind of too late to a point, but we knew the talent was there. And that's why our senior year, Anthony Adams, myself, Michael Haynes, the defense, we had a better year. Obviously, Larry, you know, rushed for 2,000 yards and so on. We was able to develop, you know, the Mike Robbs and the Tamba Ali's and the Jason Robinsons and the different guys and so on. Levi Brown came in. He wanted to be my backup. I spent weeks of sharing, like, listen, we don't have the same feet. You can't do this. You have to move to offense and so on, which panned out for his career and so on. So if you look, it was great to be in that position. It sucks to have those 2 years. But what we did was when I left, those guys went and they just won the Big Ten. You know, so it was great to go through that. And just the level of respect that we had, us veterans then, because we knew, like, hey, talent-wise, but here's what it is. And then that's when the whole thing just continued to change then.
It's so interesting you say it that way, because you're talking before about your son going to Iowa and wanting to be developed. Not that that wouldn't happen at Penn State, but that's his mission. And there's this big discussion of NIL and the transfer portal and are players actually being developed. And then there's also the further conversation of before the NIL era of guys staying 4 or 5 mm-hmm. years regularly, consistently. So you could see an entire team develop as a team over that 4 or 5 year span and build from, yes, a great 1999 season, but then get to 2002 where you perk back up again, have a bowl game against Auburn there to cap things off. But it's such a challenge. Now, I'm curious what you think of the current game in terms of are players being developed properly?
From my position, I would say no. And I don't want to say it as a knock on any program. I just don't think that the coaches have job security as they used to. So right off the bat, it becomes like how many offensive coordinators have Penn State had in the last 5 years, last 10 years, how many defense coordinators and so on. And they're not, you can't knock a person for taking a head coaching job and so on, you know, Coach Moorhead and, you know, obviously Coach Diaz just leaving and so on mm-hmm. and others, you know. So it starts being, you can't stop a coach from progressing. But when you go to a program and you get used to a guy and it starts to develop in different stuff, success becomes about routine. And the more you can do the things, the more you becomes habits and everything else, you know, it's cool. Like when I got drafted to the Rams, you know, I had 3 head coaches in 4 years. I didn't have, like, everyone's going crazy, like calling me a late bloomer because when I had my best years when I was with the Vikings. Well, the Vikings is the only program when I came back to when I actually knew the game plan. So when I worked out off season, it was like, hey, I worked out, but I didn't know what steps I had to do and what this new coach wanted me to do and so on. So I'm showing up in shape, but it becomes that, how does he want it done? How does this guy view me and so on? And I think that's what ends up happening in terms of at the college level. It's treated as a pro. It's treated as if as like the pros treat the game right now. So from my perspective, just to give you a little bit of background, I mean, just to give you an understanding on what I'm saying here, we spend from peewee, high school, you know, Pop Warner, flag football, high school, everything, even in college, prior to the NIL, focusing on developing as a team. It's not until you turn pro that you become an individual. So when I end up getting drafted, I remember coming in with this class and I'm just like, hey, I'm with these guys. It's all of us. Let's go. And we're about to take this thing over and we're about to go. And before you know it, it's like, what do you mean he's gone? What's this guy? So on and so on. And then next thing you know, it's like we're getting close to the season and we was 24 deep. And now it's only three of us. So it's four of us or whatever. And it's like, all right, this guy's on the practice squad now. So he's not even here. So, okay, it's seven of us, but four is on the practice squad. And you only kept the first, second rounder and a guy that's on special teams, you know. So before you know it, it's like that confidence of we about to run things. We about to take this thing is over. It's different because now the veterans is coming off and now it's real ball about to start. And now it's like, hey, young fella, you know, this is my team. And before you know it, you know, you get a guy like me who come in and I walk into a room and I'm one of five first rounders. You get Leonard Little getting paid like a first rounder. You get, you know, Eric Flowers, who was a first round trade from Buffalo. You get Grant Winstrom. You got, you understand what I'm saying? You got Ryan Pickett, you know, from Ohio State. You got Damon Lewis from Miami and so on. These are all first rounders. You know what I'm saying? You got, so, and we're all in there like, what? And these guys been there before me in there. It's not about the punking part and the hazing and different stuff and so on, because it wasn't nothing like that. But what ends up happening is it's the experience. No different from what I just said in terms of the Penn State. When they go in, they're doing stuff faster than me. I'm over there watching, saying, oh, yeah, do it like that and so on. Then it's like, what do I take? What don't I take? And so on and so on. And you have to figure it out yourself at the pro level. So think about this. If you look, all those players who just committed to out here, you got Arizona. The whole staff just left and went to Washington. The guys that went to Washington, they went to Alabama and so on and so on. So well, now are you following these coaches? Coaches that you never even committed to, never even played for, but you have a good relationship. But is this guy good enough to develop you? And then here's what reality is. With the transfer portal and everything else, do we have the time to develop this guy, or do we go get this guy from JUCO, or go get this guy, you know, a transfer and out of the portal and so on, because we don't have to develop him because our jobs is on the line.
Yeah, it's results based and there's a ticking clock.
That's what it is. So it's kind of like, what is it? You know, back in the day, all those coaches had job security. They wasn't moving around like that. When you transferred and so on, you had to sit out a year or a certain amount of time and so on, which I think, like I said, I still feel like for the athletes, they're making it too easy on them. Like jump here, and so on. There's guys who've been at three different schools and so on. Whether the level keeps going down or whether it stays the same, there's guys who've been to two and three different schools, and what's the chances of them going pro? Who do you commit to and so on once you get to the degree and so on, you know? And it becomes confusing. So like I said, in terms of my son, you know, he starts his career, he does basketball here and then he leaves and go here. Right now, he's only been playing for 2 years. And because he's been playing for 2 years and he's got a Power Five offer, how does the players who've been playing since high school and flag, and I mean, since peewee, you know, flag and everything else in junior high school, how do they feel about him getting playing for 2 years and now he has a Power Five offer.
And he's a legacy.
And it's a legacy and so on. So then what ends up happening is I find him, like we've already had this talks of being lonely and doing certain things. But then now what ends up happening is, hey dad, what do I do? Like I went to school with this girl and so on since elementary school and now she wants to be my girlfriend. Like after I made the announcement and hey, you know, social media, and then now it's multiple girls and different stuff and it's spam stuff and so on. And he's like, well, I don't want to get connected with anyone. I just want to go to school. And if it happens in college, then great. But I don't want to have someone that holds me back. And I don't want to, you know, I got to train. I got to work out. I got this. So I find it hard. But then I'm like, well, go hang out with your basketball players. And he's just like, hey, remember I wanted a scholarship? They're not going nowhere. Hey, they won state champions. They state champs this year, but I got two guys going to junior college and one guy doesn't want to go to play for the service academy, but you know, but he got an offer to go to the service academy, you know, Army, Navy, or whatever it is, and so on. You get what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Or so whatever it is. And I'm just like, I don't know. So what do I say to my son? So those be the times where you have to jump in. How does that play college athlete? Because they all got to talk to their family before they decide what they're going to do, transference.
That's very true. And that's been the one positive thing, just watching from afar the way that James Franklin runs the program at Penn State, is that he is about those relationships with the family. He's about developing players altogether. I don't know how much you get to watch the existing team week to week during the season, but you know, as we kind of wrap up here, looking at specifically the defense and the defensive line that Penn State has right now, are there any guys that are really jumping out to you, or a guy that you think it's like, man, give this guy a minute and he'll get to this elite spot?
Hey, for me, I'm curious. I can't say just an individual guy. Listen, because obviously, you know, you have the young guys and so on that's made a splash. Just slipped my mind, his name, number 33, the youngster and so on, the defensive end.
Dennis Sutton, yeah.
So as I say, you have guys like that. Obviously, you have the Chop Robinsons and those guys that left. You know, it's funny that you say it because Coach Franklin does get personal. I remember he called me up and he said, hey, listen, we got a guy in New York that I need your help with. You know, his name is Adiza Isaac. His family's in this position and so on. I need you to go out there and talk to him and different stuff and so on. And, you know, and it's like I was in the area and so on. So I picked up the phone. I talked to him. He comes out to Penn State and I did everything I needed to do to be on the sideline to help and take them through some drills and different stuff and so on. So it was great to be on the phone and text and talk with Shaka Tony and those guys and Sharif Miller and those guys and watch, you know, the Jason Elways and, you know, watch the Growth Models and those guys. I've always was able to talk to those guys. So since COVID and since these last couple of years, obviously I watch, you know, I had to watch more Iowa games and so on. I'm still a Penn Stater and so on. But obviously I watched our guys. I saw what those guys were doing. I was texting Adiza and so on and sending those guys messages, sending chopping those guys messages. Hey, what's up? I see you out there. Keep doing this, so on, whatever. But it's just like what I said before. Penn State has a young squad. I'm excited to see what our quarterback's going to do this year. I'm excited to see what the Long Boys is going to do. I'm excited to see, because it's hard to really put your finger on a guy that's going to be a standout guy, because keep in mind, Manny is gone. So it's no different from what I said earlier in terms of what steps do you have to take now? What's the new game? How much are we going to blitz? Am I going to be able to beat this guy one-on-one? As a player, when I was there, I hated popping to contain. Why am I always doing the containment? You know, why are you taking me out here to hold the pocket and keep the guy in there when I should be rushing, making him flesh out and so on? So I hate it. When I hear a call and it's like my responsibility was pop a team, I'm like, bro, what is going on? Here, I got a two-way go. I could just take it. Like, you know, so it's, you know, so it just really all depends on just in terms of effort-wise, Penn State is talented and so on. You just put it together like that, and I don't see why – this program ain't going to continue to win. I do think because of all the NIL money, the bigger states, like, so for example, like people always talking, they say, man, you see what Alabama does and so on. And Alabama's always winning and different things and so on. Well, here's what reality is. Reality is this. Alabama's been winning since Paul Bear Bryant. You understand? So they go back to winning that far, and they history and they have tradition. So before NIL, they will already have alum pouring into that place and pouring into this money wise and so on and given. Texas is known to have great players and they have money. So they continue. Penn State, the blue collar, hardworking people and so on. You know, we're croppers and farmers and so on. And you get what I'm saying? So it's a different versus Texas oil money or different stuff and so on. So it becomes like we have to. What Penn State is, are we really going to pay for a championship?
That's the challenge now. I think that is unfortunately what we're faced with, unless there's some regulation that comes into play to get this thing under control, which I think is hopefully inevitable. I don't think the NCAA is going to do it. It's probably going to come down to a conference standpoint. The SEC and the Big Ten have partnered on some talks and hopefully some regulation. And then there's the whole can of worms of, do the players unionize or do we go to more pro-style NFL contracts? There's a lot.
And then you have that. But if you truly make it a Big Ten situation right now, outside of Ohio State and Michigan. So Michigan right now, you know, everyone feels a certain way. As a fan, you're like, all right, well, hold up. They got the year when they was exposed for cheating and different stuff and so on. So you start to feel, you know, you got some guys who be like, oh, yeah, the Patriots is always cheating and different stuff and so on. When it's all said and done, Michigan got it. You know, they got it. They had the redemption year or different stuff and so on. Whatever the case would be. But can we really say 100% that they didn't cheat or record certain things and so on? Like, do I care? No, but I'm just bringing them up right now because obviously they're the national champs. But prior to that situation, Ohio State has been the only consistent one. Mm-hmm. And so if you break this whole thing down, outside of Ohio State, I'm not saying no one else competes, you know, but outside of Ohio State, what has the Big Ten done in terms of having someone that's going to represent our conference consistently outside of Ohio State? We always have great bowl games. We always have great squads and different stuff and so on. But as I said, the pressure keeps being on Penn State and everything else and so on. Whereas, like I said, it's we're competing against money because that's what it breaks down. Do you want to go to Penn State? You want to go to, like, think about it. Do you want to go to Texas right now? Or do you want to go every school? You can see it right now, even with the March Madness going on. Back then, it was only like you have who was the teams, only like one Cinderella team or two Cinderella teams and so on.
Yeah, now it's there's just parity because the talent is spread out.
It's everyone. It's pay to play. It's get your guys in and so on. It's, you know, we had Penn State basketball coach leave and so on. And do we have enough to pay them? And so, you get what I'm saying? So it starts being that. And I think we're all prideful. And I believe what I love about Penn State and what I love about some of these programs in the Big Ten is I think we're still developing players. You know, because right now the players that's leaving early and so on, they're leaving early because they're really solid players and they really gonna like I literally told my son, I'm like, hey, listen, Chopping those guys is gonna run on real time at the 40. They're gonna do this. I mean, the combine. Here's what these numbers are gonna look like. These boys is ready to play. You understand? So it just becomes like, do you wanna come back and do it again? But watch this go. Does Chop and those guys that still have eligibility and so on wanna come back and play for a whole new coach? That's what it breaks down to.
Those are your options. Jimmy, thank you so much for joining us. We really, really appreciate it. The best to you and your family. I hope you continue to stay as healthy as humanly possible. I know your businesses are thriving, which is great. But sincerely, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Of course, anytime, man.
Thank you all so much for joining us. This episode and our entire library of shows is available now on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Also, let us know what you think of the show on social media and check out all of our content on X, Instagram, and TikTok. Search for the handle at State of State Pod. State of State is presented by Bet Online and by Blue White Outfitters.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.